Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome into Duval Daily, presented by JenJack.com. I'm Jordan DeLugo. Thanks so much for tuning in here on Tuesday, March 26th. We have got a fresh Jaguars 7-round mock draft for you. Doing a mock here where the Jaguars trade up to land an impact player. Talked about this a lot on the show yesterday. If you want to get more of an idea of what some of the costs could be in terms of draft compensation to trade up or to move down, you can go check that episode out. But here we're going to do a mock draft based off some of the trade-up ideas that I had yesterday. So we're going to run through that here. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you enjoy the content, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You can also check out jenjack.com/shop. Pick up some new Duval gear like the hat I'm wearing right now. Again, really appreciate y'all being here. Could not be doing this without you. So a lot of the folks out there, a lot of fans, which I do not blame anyone, want the Jaguars to trade up for a top three receiver. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., who will probably be the top receiver off the board in all likelihood, Malik Nabers, and Romo Dunze. Those are the top three. A lot of fans would love to see the Jags trade up to land one of those guys, which could theoretically work if one of them fell to the 10, 11, 12 range. But what are the chances of that actually happening? In my opinion, they're extremely low. I would be shocked if a Malik Nabers or a Romo Dunze falls past 8 or 9. And I will run through a draft scenario before the draft where they do trade up for a receiver. But again, to me, they're going to have to get to like that 8 or 9 spot at the latest to be able to land one of the top three. I think that's how highly the NFL is going to value these top three receivers, even with probably 4 or 5 quarterbacks coming off the board before the Jaguars pick. I still think the top three receivers are going to go at 8, 9, 10 at the latest. I think you would have to jump the Jets to potentially get there. I know the Jets just signed Mike Williams. I don't think that's a long-term answer for them opposite Garrett Wilson. I think they're going to want to get another guy to come in there. So that would likely require more draft capital than Trent Baalke has ever shown he's willing to give up in a draft day trade. The most he has given up is a 3rd-round pick to move up. He gave up a pick at 31 overall and a 3rd-round pick to move up to 18 to land Eric Reed. I believe that was the 2013 season. So he's just never shown he's willing to do more than that. And now he has traded up a lot. He's done that a lot throughout his career, but he's never given up a ton to do it. Like, you don't see him giving up 2nd-round picks to move up in the 1st round. I think he just values that 2nd-round pick a little bit too much. But 3rd-round, 4th-round, that's where you start seeing him kind of being a little bit more willing to pull the trigger if there's a player he really values that highly. So what I'm going to do here is run a more realistic trade-up scenario, in my opinion. And again, I will do the wide receiver trade-up at some point to get into the top 10 and land one of those wide receivers. But not going to do that today because I think this is maybe more realistic for the Jaguars here in 2024, a season in which I think they're pushing their chips in a little bit here. I think that they don't want to mortgage the future, certainly, but I think they realize what they did last offseason was not good enough and they had to make some splashes. They wanted to keep Calvin Ridley. They couldn't do that, but they did bring in Gabe Davis, who's a good fit at receiver. Eric Armstead, tremendous addition. Mitch Morse, same thing, great addition. You really improved the interior of your lines of scrimmage. So I do think they're going to try to push in this year a little bit, which could mean Let's go get a player that we think is going to be high impact from day one. Who could that be in a range that makes sense for the Jaguars? Again, I don't think the receivers are going to drop to a point where you could give up just that third round pick, that compensatory pick that you have at 96 overall. So here I have the Jaguars trading the comp pick 96 and 17 to get to 14 to jump up three spots and draft tight end Brock Bowers. Now, could say if Bowers is there at 14, isn't there a good chance he's going to be there at 17? It's possible. But could I see the Colts drafting Brock Bowers? Absolutely. I think you put Brock Bowers in that offense with that group of skill position players, with Anthony Richardson throwing the football, I think that you could definitely see a Shane Steichen getting fired up about that pairing. So I would like to jump the Colts there potentially. I think the Jaguars might like to jump the Colts. And who knows? Has Trent Baalke ever taken a tight end in the first round? No. But he has seen it work, right? He has seen Vernon Davis in San Francisco for a long time. He has seen Evan Engram, who is a former first-round pick the Jaguars signed here in Jacksonville, perform at a very high level. And when you talk about Doug Peterson as a coach, some of his best offenses have really had two impact tight ends. And when I talk about Brock Bowers, I don't even think of him as just a tight end. He is an offensive weapon. He's the type of player that can be an offensive engine. Talk about his skill set. What is it? What does he bring to the football field for the Jaguars? Well, he can line up anywhere. You can line him up at X and have him move to start before the snap. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up in line. You can line him up at H-back in the backfield. You can line him up at running back. Sometimes when Georgia needed to get a first down, they gave Brock Bowers the ball as a running back. Like, that's the type of versatility he has. And as a receiver, with his size, you know, 240 pounds, a guy that absolutely flies. Like, you see him running past linebackers, safeties, even corners at times. And he's got great wiggle, you know, hip fluidity to really cut on a dime at the top of routes to create separation. He has great contested catchability, nuance with his routes for a tight end, for a player of that size. I think you can get Brock Bowers the football at all three levels and even in the backfield, and he can be an offensive engine for you. Somebody that you get the football 10 plus times a game and he helps you pick up first downs. He helps you pick up chunk yardage. He helps you get touchdowns. And so I think that he, just as much as one of those top three receivers, is going to be a dynamic impact in whichever offense he lands, as long as that offense doesn't completely misuse him. And again, you've seen Doug Peterson get the most out of tight ends throughout his career as a coach. I think landing Brock Bowers would be perfect for Doug Peterson, for this offense, for Trevor Lawrence. And I think Trent Baalke, again, has seen success at the tight end position. Obviously, you did draft Brenton Strange last year. You are paying Evan Engram. But I don't think you ever envision Brenton Strange as being this dynamic number one tight end. I just don't think that Brenton Strange prevents you at all from drafting Brock Bowers. And I don't think Evan Engram does either, because they can be on the field at the same time and be effective for you and create mismatches, both of them. Make it very difficult for defenses. Now, will Trent Baalke value Brock Bowers enough to do this? Will Brock Bowers fall to 14? I'm not exactly sure, but I think this is a more realistic trade-up scenario for a potential offensive game changer than trading up to 8 or 9 to land one of those wide receivers. Again, because Trent Baalke has never shown the willingness to give up the type of draft capital that it would cost to get to 8 or 9. And I would love to see Brock Bowers in Jacksonville. I think it'd be a fantastic pick for the Jaguars. And again, if he was sitting there at 15 for the Colts, I could definitely see it. I could even see the Saints, if they stick and pick, taking him. I could definitely see him going in between 14 and 17. So I think moving up to get him, only giving up a third round comp pick to get someone who could be your offensive star, your Travis Kelce, if you will. And again, not the same skill set. He's a much better athlete and really a better prospect than Travis Kelce was. But if he can be that type of offensive go-to player for you that Travis Kelce is, I would love to see it. And again, I just think he's a blue chip player. Like, he's the number two player on my board.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I can't imagine that Trent Baalke won't value the skill set he brings to the football field. We'll see how it plays out. But that's how I have the Jaguars trading up. And then at 48, a familiar name for y'all who have been paying attention. I just think Trent Baalke will love Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. He's got length. He's got incredible strength. He's a really good athlete. Very good run defender. You plug him in there with the group that they have up front, I think he could play base defensive end against the run and kick inside and try to rush the passer. He can also play, you know, inside against the run as well. So I just think Chris Jenkins out of Michigan as a interior defensive lineman at 48, it just screams Trent Baalke to me. Then we have not addressed the cornerback position yet in the draft, you know, and the next pick we have is 114 overall. So the way I'm looking at this here, maybe the Jaguars get aggressive again in this scenario because you traded your third round pick. You want to get back into day two to land one of these corners that you really value. I think that Trent Baalke probably looks at his cornerback room with Tyson Campbell, Ronald Darby, and Darnell Savage now that he has been talked about by Doug Peterson as a nickel. I think he probably looks at that room and likes it better than what he had in 2023 and 2022. And so it's possible, in my opinion, that he likes the situation at corner more. And what did he do last year at corner? He waited till the end of the draft to draft a couple guys. Did the same thing the year before. I do think that he's going to want to get a little bit more aggressive to get a corner that can eventually start, contribute early on, because you know Ronald Darby is not a long-term option. You know that he has a lot of injury history. So I think that they could trade up here from 114 overall, give up that 114th pick, give up a 2025 third to get to 75 and take Renardo Green out of Florida State. And when you talk about playing press man coverage, being aggressive, being a physical tackler, not giving up anything cheap or anything deep, as Jaguars' new defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen would like to say, I think Renardo Green just makes too much sense. He's got silky smooth hips. He's physical. He's got enough athleticism to stick with pretty much any wide receiver in the league. He's got makeup speed. He's got ball skills. He's got instincts. He plays the run. I love Renardo Green. And I think that if you're a team wanting to play press man coverage, this is the perfect prospect for you. Does not get enough pub, around the web, around the draft world, but he is a star in the making. I think Renardo Green in this defense, plugging him in as your third outside corner in case there's any injury for 2024, and then rolling with him as a starter in the future makes a lot of sense. Now, the Jaguars in this scenario, they still have pick 116 in the fourth round, which makes it a little bit of a easier trade up to digest when you talk about trading up twice in this draft, because you do have the two fourth round picks. At 116 overall, I could see them taking Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher. This is a guy that has very good size. He's a pretty good athlete. You know, his relative athletic score is about 7.75 out of 10. So pretty good athlete at this point in the draft. He's got very big hands. He's got great length, which Trent Baalke loves both of those traits, obviously. Started for a while at Notre Dame, but he's still a young prospect. Just turned 21 years old yesterday. So I think Blake Fisher could make a lot of sense as a potential. You know, the Jaguars have Cam Robinson on an expiring contract. They have Walker Little on an expiring contract. I don't know if both of those guys will exit the building next year, but you get ahead of it here with a potential swing tackle, maybe a guy who could eventually start at right tackle for you, but certainly someone who I think can stick around in the league as a third offensive tackle on a good offense. At 153, wide receiver Joshua Cephas, Trent Baalke, he's not drafted a lot of wide receivers early on. That's another thing that people kind of try to avoid when you talk about Trent Baalke trading up for a receiver. He just hasn't done it. He just not taken wide receivers in the first 2 days of the draft outside of, 2011, I believe, the kid out of Jacksonville that didn't work out for him. He took him in the first round, but he's never taken one in the second or third round either. So I think at 153 overall, this is a spot where the Jaguars might say, hey, let's take a swing on a receiver here. Wide receiver Joshua Cephas out of UTSA. This is a guy that has size, length, athleticism. He releases off the line of scrimmage well. He runs routes well. He's got a good throttle up and down ability to create separation. He catches all the easy stuff. Like, you do not see him dropping any of these, you know, focus drops you see from some other players coming out of school. Like, he just doesn't drop the football. But a guy that I think could be an explosive playmaker for the Jaguars and bring some more competition to that wide receiver room, a guy that I think Trent Baalke would value at this point in the draft. At 212, edge Cedric Johnson out of Ole Miss. This is not a refined player, not a guy who has like a bag of pass rush moves, but he has all the physical attributes. Like, he has good size. He's over 260 pounds. He's got the length that Trent Baalke looks for. He's got the athleticism and explosiveness that Trent Baalke looks for. Very good athlete overall. I think that you bring him in, he can set the edge for you as a backup, and you can try to develop that pass rush skill set. You know, that's something the Jaguars have shown that they're willing to try to do in this regime. And I think at 212, Cedric Johnson makes sense for them. And then at 236, it would not be a Trent Baalke draft without a linebacker, right? Didn't get a running back in this one, but that's all right. We did get a linebacker. Kalen DeLoach, another Florida State Seminole. This is one of the lightest linebacker prospects you'll ever see. I think he's like 212 pounds, something like that. But he flies, and he makes plays all over the field. And you talk about the Jaguars thinking about more positionless football as they move forward. Ryan Nielsen knows how to deploy these guys. Kalen DeLoach can blitz. He can run sideline to sideline. He can tackle. He can play the run. I know he's not the biggest, but he's slippery. He is hard for offensive linemen to get their hands on and control, because he is lower to the ground than them. He's much faster than them. He's much more agile than them. And he knows how to disengage a little bit. So I think Kalen DeLoach is the type of player that Trent Baalke could be like, we can use him on special teams. We can use him as a specialized player early on in his career. And eventually maybe he can be maybe a linebacker three for you eventually down the road. I know the Jaguars don't need a linebacker. Has that ever stopped Trent Baalke before? No, it certainly has not. So that'll do it here, though. Jaguars trading up for Brock Bowers. They get in front of the Colts, a couple other teams, to try to secure a potential offensive go-to weapon. And I think that's exactly what Brock Bowers can be. And that makes it so every other player on this offense has a little bit less of a burden. He's going to require the attention of the entire defense. He is going to be a gravity well. They're going to have to know where he is on the football field, and that's going to make it easier for Christian Kirk, Evan Engram, Gabe Davis, Zay Jones, all the other guys that are out there, and especially the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, because Brock Bowers can not only be an electric playmaker, but also a safety valve, right, for Trevor Lawrence, and I would love to see that. And then you also go get Renardo Green in the third round. In the second round, you get an interior defensive lineman that I think Trent Baalke would love to have in Duval, a guy that would make sense learning from an Eric Armstead, because I think he can do some of the same things. So yeah, Would love to know what you guys think about this mock draft for the Jaguars. Getting a little bit aggressive. They made two trade-ups here. We will do one where they trade up for a wide receiver. Don't worry. We're going to run through the different scenarios. I don't think that's as likely because I think the top three receivers are going to be off the board before the Jaguars are really within striking distance, but we will run through that down the road. Really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you enjoy the content, again, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Check out jinjag.com/shop. Pick up some new Duval gear. Y'all have a good one.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.